Enjoy fun adventures as you sail away together and experience the extraordinary marriage you desire. Join us in April 2025 for the Six Pillars at Sea Marriage Getaway. Yes, we are taking Six Pillars cruising and we want you to join us. Get all the details at oneextraordinarymarriage.com/getaway. Use promo code SHIPSAHOY to get $500 off your registration today. We'll see you there.
From San Diego, California, this is a One Extraordinary Marriage show. Where being busy is overdone, romancing is fun, and scheduling sex has taken the guesswork out of wondering when you're going to get some. I'm Tony DeLorenzo, your co-host, along with my beautiful wife, Elisa. From coast to coast and around the world, thank you for joining us. It's time to talk sex, love, and commitment. Give us a call or text us on the Hug Hotline at 858-876-5663, or send us an email to hugs@oneextraordinarymarriage.com. In today's episode, we're talking about the impact that those controlling behaviors are having on your marriage and your six pillars of intimacy.
And there's an anonymous quote that says, you cannot control other people. You can only control your reactions to them. But I'd probably put a little asterisk on that and say, except when there are situations in your marriage and you want to control them. So we'll be talking about that in today's episode. But first, we start every One Extraordinary Marriage episode with a hug. And a hug is really an opportunity to acknowledge what you're doing in your marriage, to celebrate you, to share with others the journey that the two of you have been on, because so often that gives hope to other people. And this hug comes from an email that we received that says, thank you both so much for everything you do. What a difference it has made for my husband and I. We've been married for less than 2 years. Love all our newlyweds.
Yes.
So excited that you guys are changing and changing the trajectory of your marriage from the get-go. Goes on to say, we have both been married before and have been through some of the same traumas. We've had some very painful struggles in our short marriage. And by the grace of God, I found your podcast and it has made all the difference. I started listening myself and wanted so much for my husband to also listen. I would do wonderfully obnoxious things, like play it right before he got home. Of course, I timed it just right and fairly loudly, to which he would ignore my passive-aggressive approach. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, a lot of people have done that. I learned so much and then finally talked with him about listening together. And surprise, he agreed. You mean it really is that easy? Who knew? I am now in the One Family private Facebook group and have access to all the tools. I'm blown away by all the resources you offer, and I've invited him to the group as well. Thank you again. We both enjoy your wisdom, compassion, humor, and how genuinely you care and love us all. And we love you right back.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, we have had that passive aggressive question even asked or sent to us in some way, shape, or form many, many a times over the years. And, you know, it's a little different for every single couple. And depending on how and where you are right now, how your spouse will respond to that. And so sometimes it's, hey, we're trying to play it. And others, I mean, I've heard of other couples and we've heard of other couples who they're just going on a drive and they're like, let's just play some episodes. And that's their place is just while they're driving. And others, they love listening to it in bed together or, you know, separately, but then come back and talk together, whichever way you come to that. We're all a bit different in our own ways. And so how you guys come to that is how you make your marriage extraordinary.
Yeah, it's not a one-size-fits-all approach. And, you know, it's so funny because usually I choose the hug for the episode. Even though we've been talking about what the topic's going to be, I just will usually kind of go, oh, we've got this hug that came in, and I'll drop it into the episode notes. And so here we've got this episode on controlling behaviors, right, and their impact of the six pillars. And then I'm reading through the hug again, and I'm like, oh, smack dab in the middle of that hug, in case you didn't catch it. She said, I wanted so much for my husband to listen. I would do wonderfully obnoxious things like play it right before he got home and play it loudly. And you know, like Tony said, she's not the only one who's tried to control when or how her spouse might listen to the podcast. We've definitely heard from a lot of you over the years, but you know, this concept of control and controlling what your spouse does or what they hear or how they act and that type of thing, it's a super interesting concept when it comes to marriage. And according to Merriam-Webster.com, the definition of the word control as a verb is to exercise restraining or directing influence over, so basically to regulate, or to have power over, to rule. And so you've either got regulate or have power over. And as I read those two parts of the definition, I was like, I felt a little resistance inside myself, not gonna lie, because I think most adults, let's put it that way, because we're not speaking to kids here. Most adults will resist the idea of having someone regulate them or rule over them. We don't like to be controlled. In a lot of cases, there are spouses who actually on the other side of that don't want to be the controlling ones. But it's happening in marriage. And I've seen this come up in a lot of coaching conversations lately. And you know, hearing from couples where one spouse feels controlled or has to control in the area of finances, how time is being spent, who you're spending time with, what sexual intimacy looks like, what the calendar looks like, what's happening with household responsibilities or chores, and the list goes on and on and on. And I kept hearing this theme around control, like, well, Elisa, I have to control this, or this is an area that, like, I need to be the one that, like, sets the rules on this. And I was like, oh, we got to dig into this. We got to dig into this as the one family, because control left unchecked will divide a marriage.
Absolutely.
Control that is unasked for, control that is kind of usurped, will create this tug of war in a marriage. And those of you that have been listening for a while, you know that whenever I talk about a tug of war, it means that somebody in the marriage has to end up in the mud, because it becomes a win-loss situation. Or win-lose situation, and the loser always ends up in the mud. And in this case, in all honesty, in your marriage, you also end up dirty too. And we've had this experience in our own marriage, you guys. There were years, probably if I had to quantify it, I would say easily the first decade. So 10 years of our marriage, I was the controlling factor around our sexual intimacy. Go ahead.
And I would say there are still times to this day where that is the case as well. Even though we run the intimacy lifestyle, we will look at our every single one of our pillars of intimacy, and that there are still times where that will happen.
True. Not to the extent that it was the first decade.
Oh, absolutely not. No.
And we have the language to talk about it now.
Correct.
And you have permission to check me on it now, as opposed to the first 10 years, 10, 11, maybe even going into 12, where it was like, if I wanted or I didn't want it, it was up to, you know, what was my mood? How was I feeling those crazy little feelings that are super fickle? How was I feeling towards Tony? Were we connected? Were we not? Well, you know what? Guess what? I'm not feeling connected to you. We're not having sex. I'm tired. We're not having sex. I don't, you know, I'm just in a mood. We're not having sex. And that was this pattern of control that I exercised. And I will tell you, I knew I was making choices, but I would have never considered myself to be controlling. And yet in hindsight, the gift of hindsight 2020, I realized that because there was no communication around this, because it was all one-sided, and I wish you could see Tony shaking his head right now, that's control. And we didn't just have it in the pillar of sexual intimacy. We also had it in our finances.
Yeah. And we've shared this story during the Great Recession, where we pretty much lost everything. And we were pretty much on a tight budget at that point in time. And we had talked, Elisa and I had agreed upon a spend amount for Christmas, the gifts, what we were going to give for the kids, family, and all of that. And lo and behold, after Christmas into January, started looking at the credit cards, or even debit card at that point in time. I don't even think we had any credit cards at that point in time. We didn't. But I realized that funds weren't there. Like, I hadn't paid any attention as I trusted Elisa, like, hey, we're going to be cool. And come into that January, we're a lot lower in funds than I had expected.
Like, and to the tune of $700-$800.
In that time, when you have nothing, $700-$800 is a lot. Like, to the point of, are we going to be able to put food on the table? You know, like, what are we going to slash out of everything? And I remember in that moment in time, not even saying it to Elisa, but this inner vow that a lot of us will say, we'll have these inner vows that we say, we don't really say anything to our spouse, but our spouse does something that causes maybe some pain, trauma, fear. We get frustrated with them, and we get this inner vow. And I remember having this inner vow of, oh, I'm not going to let Elisa handle the finances any longer. Like, she doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't understand the situation we're in. Obviously, she knew the situation we were in. She was right there, right beside me. And yet we didn't have the ability, the emotional intimacy to speak through it. And so my inner vow then was to, I'm going to control all of our finances. I will make sure that everybody knows what they're getting and how much they're getting. And I will check that account daily to make sure everybody is on par. And when I say everybody, Alisa and I are.
Yeah, the kids were little.
Kids were little at that point in time. And so what are those inner vows that you've spoken? What are those inner vows that you need to think about right now that maybe you said a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, that are still controlling some aspect of your marriage?
And I want to, just as we're jumping into this episode a little deeper, I want to be clear. When we're talking about controlling behaviors, I'm not, Tony and I are not talking about those areas where the two of you have agreed that one person is going to essentially be in charge of, right? There may be, you know, like he just brought up finances. The two of you may have said, actually had a conversation, and that's key here, where you've agreed that one spouse or the other is going to handle finances. That was not the situation with us. It was, there had been a trauma in our marriage. There had been a huge breach of trust. And Tony's like, I am taking over this area. That's what we're talking about in this episode, of really getting into this place of those situations where, because of issues, one of you has taken control of that area. And, you know, as I've watched coaching clients over the last 10 years, when control rears its head, when those controlling behaviors start to come out, it usually happens because there's been a breach of trust, or there's increasing disconnect, or there's little to no communication in a particular area, which allows the imagination to run wild. And you start making up this narrative. I've told so many of my coaching clients recently, I'm like, I actually think we have the best script writers in the married world, because when the two of you aren't talking, the imagination, the scripts that you create about the what ifs and the whys and the hows and all of that kind of stuff would rival any Hollywood blockbuster.
Can I say something real quick? Because as you were talking, there are two episodes I want to share, and I'll put them in the episode notes for everybody. But there are two episodes that I think really talk a lot about this. It's from that controlling aspect and how we sometimes get into this dynamic in our marriage. One is episode 334. The emasculated man. The second one is 335. She's not your mother. And I'm going to put links to both of these, or go find them in your favorite podcast app. But these really discuss what's happening and what we're doing in that control. And we're emasculating one. And we also see her sometimes as that, you know, that mother figure. She doesn't want to be your mom. She wants to be your wife.
Right. And just as a point of reference, those were probably 6-7 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yeah. But they're two fantastic episodes.
Absolutely.
And the second one came after, because we had so many women reaching out and wives reaching out going, hey, how about this other side?
Yeah.
And so we just went back to back on these. So 334 and 335.
Absolutely. And, you know, we asked all of you last week on Instagram, hey, what causes you to exercise control in your marriage? And we got responses like, well, because of my past, handling the money makes me feel more secure. I think I can change things if I'm more controlling, but it often doesn't work out that way. I'm our only income, so I feel like I have to control things. We have broken trust in our marriage. I don't see my spouse take any responsibility or taking action. I'm worried about my spouse having friends of the opposite sex. And if you just hear some of those responses, you start to see a theme that when there's disconnect or uncertainty or fear or even past situations that maybe your spouse was a part of or wasn't a part of, but it's stuff in your past that is still dictating your present and how you respond, that becomes a problem. Because those controlling behaviors starts to wreak havoc on the connection between the two of you. It starts to become this tug of war. Like Tony said, as he just brought up those two past episodes, it can become and feel more like a parent-child relationship than a husband-wife relationship. And I will tell you, when it becomes a parent-child relationship, your sexual intimacy will for sure
drastically changes. Like, absolutely. And we've been in that. Both of those episodes ring true to us, because I remember a period in time where that was us.
Yeah, I mean, just total control. Your emotional intimacy, if you stay in that parent-child, like, we have teenage children. They do not tell us everything. Why? Because it's a parent-child relationship. It's a much different relationship than what Tony and I have as husband and wife. And, you know, getting into this place of saying, control, these controlling behaviors are not working in our marriage. Because the one being controlled doesn't like it. Remember when I gave you the definition and it didn't feel good to hear, you know, being regulated or being ruled over? We as humans don't like this idea of being controlled. Mm-hmm. And the one who is controlling often doesn't like being in that role either because of this shift in the dynamic. So we need to talk about how to break that cycle, how to address and break that and break those controlling behaviors after this break.
You're probably not surprised to hear that things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and lack of sleep can affect your skin. I know I'm dealing with all of it. From dry skin to dark spots and acne, your complexion might not be where it used to be, which is totally normal. But today's sponsor, OneSkin, can help. They have a simple skincare routine that tackles skin issues like these at the cellular level. I know how many products you can have, but the simplicity of OS One Face and OS One Eye makes my life so easy. And I can tell you that the OS One Eye is making a difference on my crow's feet and under eye areas. I have two products, not a whole counter full of them. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code OEM at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code OEM. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support this show and tell them we sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're back, and we're talking about what to do when you're aware that control is becoming a huge factor in your marriage. And it might start, these controlling behaviors, they might start in one pillar. But what tends to happen is if they're left unchecked, they'll start to spill over into other pillars. And, you know, for example, when Tony and I were feeling disconnected in our emotional intimacy, we weren't talking in those early years of our marriage, it was definitely impacting our physical intimacy. It was impacting our sexual intimacy. It was impacting our recreational intimacy. I mean, this was the couple that would go out to dinner and like just kind of not talk to each other, right? So mm-hmm. many of the, like if I was just being moody, and you got, many of you have heard this story, and I told it with the clients the other day, and I shared it in a couple recent episodes. My tendency when in conflict, the way I controlled the situation, and this is a control behavior, I would shut down. That's a controlling behavior. I don't want to talk to you. I'm not going to talk to you. Guess what? You can just sit there and talk to me. I am not talking to you. Little sassy voice in my head being like, yeah, talk all you want.
Oh, and you don't see her, but she's like bobbing her head up back and forth. And she'd do that to me too. She'd mm-hmm. just be like,
Me and myself just having a whole conversation and not talking to you.
Yep.
And I would control the communication that way. I controlled our emotional intimacy by choosing not to participate. Until the day when Tony sat me down on the couch and was like, this is not working for us. We are not doing this for the next 50 years. And I'm like, oh yeah, watch me. And yet, that was the beginning of a break. I still have those tendencies. They're not completely gone. I would say they are, in my opinion, you can let me know if this is true or not. I would say they're much, much better than they used to be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every once in a while, it'll come out. And I think those just, when we both start to play tug of war with one another, we're opposite of one another instead of getting on the same team, you'll shut down because you're just sort of like, I'm just going to control this right now because I am not going down the path that you want to go down, mm-hmm. Tony. And so it rears up. We're not perfect here, folks. We are walking through life and walking through marriage just like you. And so we end up in these places at times and have to address it and we have to assess it and we have to look at each other and ourselves and how did we get to that point?
Well, and on the flip side, just to show that we aren't perfect, on the flip side, when you get to that point where you feel like we're a little bit more of that tug of war, you will tend to be a little more like, no, we're talking about this right now. Like you get into that place and your voice will get a little bit louder mm-hmm. and you'll get much more direct and you're just like, Elise. And that's when I know, like when he puts that sharp edge on the end of my name, I'm like, oh, he's not in a good spot. And that's his control of like, no, we're going to deal with this right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look at him. He's like,
Yep. It is. It's just the Elise.
It's a control.
It's like that. And we have a dynamic. And again, we work through these, though. We see them. We understand them. What triggered that? What were the emotions underlying those things? What's going on in my life that I'm not in congruency with Elisa? Where are we that we're not together in our pillars?
Right.
And it happened up earlier in the year where that was happening often. Mm-hmm. And Elisa was at the point where she's just like, look, you need to get some coaching. You need somebody, because there's a blind spot over here and I was resisting it. And I'm glad I stepped in and said, you know what? You're right. Because I'm sensing this more and more. And the 3 months, I think I had maybe 10 sessions mm-hmm. with my coach, it helped. And that was back in April. And I don't think we've had nearly as many, if any, like tense situations like that. Like that were like repetitive.
Oh yeah, not repetitive. I mean, yeah, I was gonna say like we've had tense situations over the course.
But we were getting to that point, oh my gosh, here we go again. Right, we were getting to that point where it was like it felt
frequent.
Like very frequent. Yes,
very frequent. And you know what I would say to that is, you know, if there are issues where you or situations where you're seeing this repetitive need for control, or you're feeling it's likely because there's something that's been unaddressed or unresolved, and it's creating this disconnect. There are hurt feelings. There's broken trust, and you know, the first part of this is to go, okay, well, wait, what, like, look at the person in the mirror. Where have you been controlling? Where are you exercising control in your marriage? Right? Think through each one of the six pillars of intimacy. I did not write the book, The Six Pillars of Intimacy, for it to collect dust on a bookshelf. I wrote it so that couples would be able to open it up and go, hey, emotional, physical, financial, spiritual, recreational, sexual. Am I exercising controlling behaviors in any of those? Take stock. Be honest with yourself. One of the biggest gifts that you can give to your marriage is being honest with yourself.
Yep.
And going, huh, let me think through each one of these. Where, and the next question is, where have you felt your spouse is being controlling? But you do notice I started with you first. Don't jump to that second point and be like, oh, well, they've been controlling here. No, start with you. And then this is a question I use so frequently with my coaching clients. When did this start? Because here's the thing, and Tony and I were even talking about it before we started to record this. Most people, I feel pretty confident in saying, I'm going to go with like a 99% on this.
Okay.
99% of people do not enter into marriage with someone that they feel is uber controlling in any one of those pillars of intimacy. Do I think that does happen? Yes. But I do, I would put the caveat to that. Why would you go marry someone that was going to already be controlling you in all of those different, like in most cases, that is something that develops over time because of disconnect, insecurity, breach of trust. So you've got to identify when it starts, because often if you can figure out when it started, what the cause was, then you can actually start to get a sense of, well, what was the situation? What happened there? That's the root. What do we have to do to address the root cause of this cycle of behavior that we've been living out for, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 10 years, 20 years? And the truth of the matter is that there are couples in the one family that have a root that goes back 20, 25, 30 years that's still causing controlling behaviors because it was never addressed and dealt with. And that's the reality of the world that we live in. But then you have to take a next step and go, well, what role do I have in creating change now? This goes back, if you've actually read The Six Pillars of Intimacy, you know that in each pillar, there's a section that says, what can I do? So what role do you have in creating change? If you're the one who's created the fear or the insecurity or the disconnect, your behavior created this reaction in your spouse, what do you need to do? What have you not done in this intervening time to heal that broken part of the relationship? There's something that you can do, and you need to do it. If you're the one who's been on the receiving end of that fear or insecurity or disconnect, what do you need from your spouse? It might be more than an apology. It might be something that goes much deeper. My guess is, as I've seen in so many of the couples that I've worked with, that you actually need to get into this place of healing. And that often goes beyond a I'm sorry, because likely you've heard the I'm sorry hasn't worked because it's a wound that needs to be addressed.
Yeah. And this can come in many different places, many different forms. It could have happened when you're a child. It could have been happened anywhere along the line in your marriage. It could have happened when the passing of a loved one. It could have been passing of a parent. Things happen, right? And we're touching into an area where many of us don't want to go. Really, we don't. We'd rather just go live our lives and just be like, all right, it's fine. We'll just keep rocking and rolling. And yet, if we want to have extraordinary marriages, we need to step into these places and go, okay, like, where is this coming from? And it sometimes needs to take some deep work. Sometimes you got to go hire a coach. You need to work with somebody. Maybe there's, you know, a healing retreat center that you need to go to. I don't know what it is for you. And yet, those are the places we have to step into. And I have seen in my own life, when I'm willing to step into those places, the outcome is much better than I expected. There's fear going in. There is like this, what if I go through all this and it's just a waste of time, money, energy, effort, not just only on my part, but the person that I'm working with. You know, we'll put those things up. And yet every time I've stepped into places like that, I've seen change happen. Is it instantaneous? Sometimes, not all the time. A lot of times it's a process. Am I willing to walk through that and get that healing, whatever it may be? And sometimes it's small stuff. And for you and I, it may be small. For somebody else, it may be big. For somebody, your spouse may be looking at it and going, what are you talking about? That's nothing, no big deal. And yet for you, it is. And so start walking out that healing.
I think it's one of those things too, where there's this expectation that there's just going to be this like magic wand that all of a sudden one day the controlling behaviors are going to go away. And the reality is that they don't just go away because you want them to. They don't just go away because you wish that your spouse wouldn't be that way so that you don't have to be this way. This is one of those areas. Really strong controlling behaviors are often the result of pain. And unless it's dealt with in a proactive way, it will just keep being cyclical. So you have to have the courage. I mean, this is an episode that really at its heart is about the courage that you will have to address the things that have hurt you. It's not comfortable. Like Tony said, it's super uncomfortable. It stirs up all the emotions, the anxiety, the what ifs, all of these different kind of questions. But I will tell you, we've seen in our own marriage that when you develop that courage, when you put a strong team around you, whether it's, you know, a coach, you know, your pastor, a prayer partner, whatever that is, when you have a strong team around you to tackle these things and go, you know what, this is not the way I want to be living. This does not feel good. I want a partnership. I want that romance with my spouse. I don't want to be in a tug of war with somebody constantly going through the mud. When you get intentional and you take action in this area, I will tell you, you won't even recognize what's on the other side of the effort that you put in.
Yeah. This week, and specifically around this topic, it's a self-assessment. It's really about you. Is your marriage going to benefit from it? Absolutely. And yet you have to look, as Elisa said, you got to look at the person in the mirror and go, what can I do? Where am I at? What am I going to let go of this week? What am I going to address this week? So that way I can have the freedom. I can have the breakthrough. And that way we, as a couple, as a husband and a wife, we can have the extraordinary marriage that we desire. So this week, take some time, maybe do a little self-assessment. If you're at that point, though, where you're like, I need help, we have coaching here at One Extraordinary Marriage. You can go to oneextraordinarymarriage.com/coaching. You can apply. There's no obligation. And yet that may be that step that you need to take to overcome the controlling areas in your life. With that, know that we are here for you. We truly are excited for what you're going to do to have the extraordinary marriage you desire. You guys have yourselves a fantastic week. We'll catch you next week. Love you guys.